C1C. Number 7A.
So, we take the first subject of mind, and I read to you, and while I'm reading, I'm thinking aloud, so that you see how I try to restructure my interpretation from terms to categories. We have read the introductory remark on paragraph, which shows us that we must see that the standpoint from which we look at the universe and creation must be not the standpoint of mystical human theories, but from the point of divine mind. So the stage is set there at the end of the first paragraph and says, now, here is the whole subject. Do we try to understand creation from human theories, from human conception, or from mind? You see, the mind and its counterfeit standpoint, which is the human conception. And now she evolves that first tone of mind, which we have said here in the study guide. Creation is the infinite image or infinite idea of the infinite mind, because all is mind. Now we have to see how we arrive at this epitome. We have to see, is this summary really summarizing the pith of what we are going to read or not? And so, on page 255, line 11, seems the start of this whole subject. Already the side note, finite views of deity, already give us a tone of mind. Why? Because views, you see, is the way that mind looks at things. It's the conceptual sense of mind. Here in the counterfeit sense, when we have a restricted, a finite conception of deity. So the text reads, mortal man has made a covenant with his eyes to belittle deity with human conceptions. So in my mind I see at once, here we start out that mortal man has human conceptions, the counterfeit of mind, and with that counterfeit of mind he tries to look at creation. In league with his material sense, mortals take limited views of all things. Again, we have a stressing of that standpoint that human conceptions therefore take limited views and take limited views of all things. Of all things that would be creation. Therefore, we see here the counterfeit standpoint that if we go out from man and from the sense testimony, that then human conception take limited views of creation. It introduces me therefore to the standpoint of mind and its counterfeit and says, the limited never can really see the unlimited. The finite can therefore never be the basis of the infinite, which she indicates right afterwards. Line 14 still, that God is corporeal or material, no man should affirm. The human form or physical finiteness, can you hear that here that underlying tone comes always in of finite view, limited views, physical finiteness. Can you hear here the trumpet, huh, that comes in and says, take care, it really blows the trumpet, say, limited, unlimited, unlimited, limited. Huh? Choose what you have in your mind so that you are not having finite conception and physical finiteness, because that cannot be made the basis. Mind is always our basis, and therefore we must see that our basis is mind and not finite views, finite conceptions. Cannot be made the basis of any true idea of the infinite Godhead. You have here a wonderful sense of really the fact and the counterfeit, that the basis of any true idea of what? Of the infinite Godhead. And we have said here in this chapter, really idea is always bringing out one thing, that the idea is always the idea about the infinite. This is unique to this chapter. Other chapters treat with the term idea in completely different ways, actually also in a correct way, but with another connotation. Alone in this chapter always is shown that we must see that we have an idea that is always infinite, that in no way are we going to limit an idea. So, also we can say there is a rule really of interpretation that is valid throughout the whole textbook, is this, that any statement in the negative can naturally be put by reversion into the positive. That's legitimate. Therefore, here we can see that only, therefore, an unlimited basis can really give us any true idea of the infinite Godhead. And we feel she starts out with that sense, you know, your conception must be infinite. Conception unconfined. This is the tone, huh? When we start out with accurate views of creation by the divine mind, as she has indicated on line 9 and 10, that now she shows that limited views, limited conception, finiteness, all that can never be the basis from which we would ever arrive at the infinite idea. Therefore, sooner or later she will have to state the positive sense of it, but even now when one reads it, one is entitled to put a negative statement into a positive in order to see what is involved. Therefore, she goes on and says, I has not seen spirit. We know that mind alone sees and hears. Therefore, here she shows that which can conceive, which can really have conceptions, are not the physical eyes, the physical organs cannot see spirit, nor has ear heard his voice, because we know that it's only the mind that is all hearing, all seeing, and therefore she shows that the limited, finite basis, like an eye or an ear, can never be made the basis of an infinite Godhead, that every limitation can never really get near to the true conception of God. So we have epitomized this mind as mind in our study guide by starting out saying human conceptions I always give you, for those who don't know the synonymous term well enough, I always give, if I think about it, the synonym to which it belongs. Human conceptions, counterfeit of mind, and limited views, the counterfeit of mind, are no basis, counterfeit of mind, for the true idea of the infinite Godhead, the true idea of mind. So you can see here, you really have mind as mind, showing that limited concepts, counterfeit of mind, can never see, hear, cognize the true idea of God or of mind. Yeah, I shouldn't always ask, is that clear? Because you can't answer. All right. So here we would have found the basis from which to go out. It's now stated in a negative way because she has to show how we groan and how we, what is the other expression, that we groaners and travailers within us with the true idea, and must see that we, as a first step, must be aware that we never go out from a limited concept, mind. We go to the next page. Progress. Something in me says at once. Now she has been speaking about the views, and now suddenly the progress. Therefore, apparently, she is striving towards showing us that these finite views must somehow be developed, and that there must be made a progress, that we must not stay there, that something must be done, that there should be progress in our view. I hear progress. In my ear, it's at once really the idea of spirit, because spirit unfolds and evolves and develops, you see, and brings progress. So we at once hear the development of the basis from which she was speaking, and shows that progress takes off human shackles. And I feel that here is already a step being indicated of separation. It takes off what hinders our growth, what hinders our vision, and shows it is only progress that takes off the restrictions, the human shackles. And in my mind I hear at once spirit coming in. The finite must yield to the infinite. And I see that one must give way to the other, and that giving way from one of the other is always a sense of spirit. Spirit is always that which separates that which is wrong from that which is right. And I see, oh, that's progress. Progress is then when the finite yields to the infinite. That's the next step. If I've started by seeing that finite conception is a wrong basis, then I better do something about it. And so I come to spirit, which says, all right, do something about it. Take away your shackles. Take away the finite sense from you, so that the finite in you yields to the infinite. Advancing, and again I hear spirit, advancing. Spirit is that which evolves, which brings progress, which develops. If you have a tonality of spirit, you hear at once. Here she brings in the developing sense of the basis that she has been shown. Advancing to a higher plane of action. Thought rises from the material sense to the spiritual, from the scholastic to the inspirational, and from the mortal to the immortal. And here I see very clearly that in this long sentence, it is not so much that we have to consider the scholastic and the inspirational, or the mortal and the immortal. I hear within here three examples of the same thing. The moment you have examples of the same thing, you know the examples are not that which matters, but the underlying thing that matters. So my consciousness is not at all sidetracked by the many examples she gives, and doesn't consider that, but in my consciousness I see, oh, the main point is that advancing to a higher plane of action, which would be that advancement of spirit, thought must do something. Thought, mind, our conception, our view must do something. It must rise from to. So actually, the from to is the accent in the sentence. You see, these funny little words are the main point, because they say you have to make a progress from where to where. And therefore gives always opposites and says you have to advance from a limited concept to an unlimited concept, and gives three examples. She could have given four, five, six examples. The examples wouldn't matter. The main point is that she shows that those opposites are stated so that she says, now you advance from the counterfeit to the fact, which is spirit, which has that sense of spirit in it, which says, I turn my back on the wrong and turn towards the right. Spirit is always that which says, can you choose rightly? Can you turn away from that which is wrong and turn towards that which is right? And so, here, in reading it, we would have to stress. We would be a reader in the church and would read this out. We would have to see exactly where we would have to put the accent. And we would have to read advancing to a higher plane of action. Thought rises from the material sense to the spiritual, from the scholastic to the inspirational, and from the mortal to the immortal. You see? If I would accentuate it wrongly, and remember, this is a great point, interpretation is accentuation. If in a statement you accentuate a term, then you show which term is the interpretation. Therefore, if I would read it wrongly, I would read that sentence, advancing to a higher plane of action, thought rises from the material sense to the spiritual, from the scholastic to the inspirational, from the mortal to the immortal. And I would accentuate wrongly. I would accentuate then, can you see, from the material sense to the spiritual sense, that would be soul. I would accentuate from the scholastic to the inspirational, which would be a tone of life. And I would accentuate from the mortal to the immortal, and I would accentuate again life, which is not the case in here. The accentuation is that in order to gain a correct view of creation, I have to turn from the false and turn to the right. From to is the accent, because that's the tone of spirit. So Mr. Zedek could have given many, many more examples and could said, you have to turn from matter to spirit, you have to turn from error to truth, you have to turn from fear to love, or anything like that. She could have given any kind of example. So this is a point that one must consider in the text. One must see what is in a sentence really the leading idea, and what is in a sentence the illustration of that idea. So, if I want to teach that 2 and 2 is 4, it doesn't matter if I say 2 fishes and 2 fishes are 4 fishes and 2 bananas and 2 bananas are 4 bananas and 2 trees and 2 trees are 4 trees. So the bananas, the fishes and the trees wouldn't matter in this example, would it? Wouldn't matter at all. It would just say 2 and 2 equal 4, that's what matters. And so you can see how one filters out really secondary information, so that primary information are accentuated. Namely, how can I make progress? By turning away from the counterfeit and turning to the fact. That's it. But we know that we have to deal with thousands of facts and counterfeits in our life. So any one of those thousand facts could be cited in the text. All things, she goes on, are created spiritually. Now she goes to the positive sense and says, you see, creation is a spiritual creation, is not a material creation. The side note, can you see the side note? No material creation. Isn't that a wonderful combination of mind and spirit in the counterfeit? And in bringing out that counterfeit, she brings in now that all things, with all things she means creation, the whole of creation, are created mind, spiritually, spirit. Mind, not matter, is the creator. Here you have now stating really from which standpoint we should view creation, namely from the standpoint of mind, not matter. And then comes an interesting sentence, love, the divine principle, is the father and mother of the universe, including man. And it seems as if this whole sentence would just not fit into the whole paragraph. The whole paragraph was about mind and spirit, mind and spirit, mind and spirit. And now suddenly comes in principle, love, the divine principle, as the father and mother of the universe, including men. That's again, is okay, because that's creation. You see, she can therefore use synonymous term for the term creation. She can use all things, or she can use the universe including man. So that doesn't matter. But why on earth she should now bring in, you know, in that symphony, suddenly that little high triangle that sounds very, very clear, huh? And say, oh, love, the divine principle, huh, is the father and mother of the universe. You see what happens? She takes into that whole question that mind, not matter, is the creator. And then she thinks, I have to explain what the creator is. That creator is the father, mother. Yes? The parent mind. The moment you have mind as the creator, as the parent mind, you have to bring in father and mother. And so here she lifts up really the person of the creator, the divine person, up to the level of divine science. This is one of these wonderful examples where suddenly she also brings in divine science, a higher level, another melody, just quickly in, and says, you know, that mind is not just the mind. That's a parent mind. It's a father mind. It's a mother mind. The father and mother, that's the parent mind. And that is not just mind. That's a person. That's a person. It's the divine principle of love. Yeah? So you have to see that perhaps in the first attempt one feels this sentence actually doesn't really belong to this paragraph. It's strange in it. And the moment you see, oh, she just lifts really that whole paragraph on a higher level of divine science, where we know that the person of God, you know, the person of God is principle love. So that now, in order to explain that the person of God as father, mother, is the creator, is the mind, and not matter that creates, we certainly hear in this paragraph a very beautiful tone coming in. And we see afterwards that it will take quite a while until again that instrument plays in the symphony. That she goes right on afterwards again on the level of evolving mind as spirit, mind as soul, mind as principle, and so on, on the level of divine, of absolute Christian science. We have summarized this and said advancing at spirit from a material sense to the spiritual sense at spirit. All things are created spiritually, spirit by mind. You have a wonderful combination of mind and spirit. Now we see that when mind is at work, if we look out from the mind standpoint instead of the limited conception, then something begins to happen. Progress sets in, something begins to move forward, then the involvement sets in because mind says, I don't want any more a limited mind. So turn away from the counterfeit and turn to the fact, and mind drives as spirit thought further to make that separation, to make that turn, to make that choosing, and choose the right. So that then we feel that something is moving forward. We come to the next one, soul. Having touched on the creator as father, mother, she says the theory of three persons in one God. Again, we have the personality of God, the divine person. That is a personal trinity or triunity, suggests polytheism rather than the one ever-present I am. And you know, the synonymous term soul, soul is the true I am, is the true ego, the divine self-identity. And so here she shows that mind, which is the parent mind, is the I am mind. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.